Daryl, why don't you tell us a little bit, too, about these spheres, the picture of which you've sent us on the coasttocoastam.com website.
Surely. The spheres that you see on the site there, there are two of them. these are two of four that were found in a little girl's nose by her mother, whose mother caused her to sneeze into the Kleenex and found the four little spheres. First four she found about a week or two before she, of course, lost. The spheres were sent to York University, and when they were sent to York University, they were under the care of Dr. Nick Balakas, who has been very helpful there with us and a wonderful professor. And what they basically found, the spheres were turned over to a tenured professor who studied the objects, and to him, he took the most logical course, in my view, and that was to simply disprove them. The best way he thought he would do that would be to manufacture the same thing, discover what they're made out of, and then manufacture them himself. If you can reproduce it, then it's probably not alien. I would agree with that.
Sure.
This is why I like these type of people who are not on our team, so to speak. They're just independent and have no axe to grind whatsoever. So he tries to. First of all, he finds out that they're 51% silver and 49% gold. The second thing he finds is that the surface, the configuration, he thinks that he should be able to match. He manufactures, gets his gold and silver concentrations correct, and begins to attempt to manufacture the objects. And to his surprise, he is not able to manufacture the same surface. He was a bit puzzled as to why he wasn't able to do that. Now, one of the suggestions might be the purpose of something like this would be to hold something like a medication or some other substance, because, again, a lot of things we look at with abductees, we find a number of them that have been tested, usually inadvertently find out that they have low levels of or altered levels of serotonin, dopamine,
Now, but these spheres, though, Daryl, were they were solid or
they're solid spheres.
So there's nothing inside of them, no technology, nothing. No circuitry, nothing like that.
When I spoke to the 250 surgeons, I told them I gave them four distinct things that we would find if these objects are alien. The first thing I said we will find is no technology in any of these alleged implants. I said, in my opinion, we will eventually find some type of technology. When we do, we will find it is human. The implants themselves will not have a technology. This is where almost everyone has gone completely wrong on their wild theories of what the implants are.
Now, wait a minute. You said that they were human?
If we find implants that have technology, and we have, in our opinion, what we are looking at is a human implant.
Like a black ops program?
Very, very possibly.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But if you find, then, implants that have no appearance of technology, you can conclude that they may be alien?
My guess would be far closer to that if, in fact, we're still dealing with the same symptomology, that these people fit the same categories.
But they've got to have some kind of technology. What's the purpose of putting them in somebody?
Agreed. That to me, your thinking is so rational and so reasonable. But the fact is that these entities are not like what we think. They don't think like us, they don't act like us, and they don't do things. The mere fact that they're doing so-called genetic testing is an example. Any geneticist who studies this phenomena will tell you it doesn't make any sense. You don't need 4 million genetic samples to figure out what's going on. You just don't.
There's got to be another reason, then.
There's obviously something else going on that's far different than what we think.
Yes. I have always thought, Daryl, that they may be, if this is going on, that they may be genetically altering us for some future climate change that they want the human species to be ready for, or they need it for themselves. They're taking these fetuses, maybe by the millions, and they're just growing them on their own planets or in their spaceships for some other purpose.
Well, I think two things. One is, and if you want to, we'll go into that, the fetus business, here in just a moment, because we've got some good solid evidence that, in fact, that may be going on. And when I say that, I don't mean some lady claimed that she lost a fetus or this sort of thing, but simply that we actually have sonograms of a fetus that appeared to be, appears not to be human.
Is there, oh my, let's talk about that. I was going to ask you where you think these beings are coming from, but there's a sonogram that appears that this fetus is not human?
Well, I'll back up a little bit. A story was given to me by another investigator some time ago, and he told me the story, and I said, well, that sounds interesting. Why do I need to believe in this story? Why do I think this is pertinent or relevant? And he said, I said, there are many of these stories where women claim these events, and I said, and the logical conclusion of many of these alleged artificial insemination cases are, because there's a missing fetus, that there in fact never was a fetus, and they made it up or just it didn't happen. That's one of the conclusions that they'll often come up with, doctors who hear this sort of thing. The second idea is that a spontaneous absorption occurred, and therefore the fetus was simply absorbed, or there was a spontaneous abortion, or in fact there was an abortion, and that's really the problem. Those answers sound
possible,
and there's certainly nothing wrong with exploring those. The difficulty is that we have a series of cases that simply don't fit this. Now I'll give you some examples here. This particular one, the guy said, well, he said, here's the story he told me, and I said, well, it sounds very similar, so is there any evidence? He said, actually, there is. And he showed me the sonograms. And I took the sonograms to London on one of my world tours every year when I go speaking around the, wherever
the
it is,
globe,
going,
yeah.
North or south or wherever. This year it'll be back into Europe. And I took it to a hospital that specializes in children, pediatric hospital, and I asked the doctor there, I said, I have some sonograms that I would like for you to review. They're from America. It's not an insurance case. I just want you to look at them and tell me if everything's okay.
Just curious.
That's all. And I gave them no hints of anything. I laid them out, and the doctor says, may I bring a consult? And I said, please do. And she brings in this other doctor, and they're both looking at it. They lay them out in the order they feel they should be. And she says, this is not right. And I said, what's not right? She says, these sonograms are never taken of a fetus in this way. And I said, what do you mean? Her response was, and the other doctor concluded, that whoever took these sonograms was not interested in the fetal development of the fetus at all. I said, okay. Now that that's established, could you tell me in those pictures, based on what
you
think is occurring, do you see anything that they might have been looking for? And you hear this, oh my God, what a strange little head. Large, bulbous head with a long, pointed chin. I've never seen one like that. I said, doctor, could you tell me some medical possibility that might account for the shape of the head and the long pointed chin?
If it's deformed, right?
And she says, well, possibly hydrocephalus, but I've never seen one like that.